The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The angels had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Please be seated. Many of you who have had any contact at all with Church of Our Savior in the past year may remember that this year began with a flood, a great flood. It flooded our basement downstairs, it flooded the preschool, it closed two of the classrooms for 3 weeks. We ended up footing a very large deductible on the bill, and things sort of went on from there in the parish. I give thanks for our wardens. They're called wardens for a reason. Maybe to protect the asylum a little bit, especially the sanity of the rector, and also to ward things off, I would say. We almost had another of those floods just over a week ago, but they intervened in a timely manner, and we are dry today, which is good news. But the image of the flood comes to mind because it is about, of course, the waters of chaos. And if you have ever experienced a flood, I bet most of you have, whether at home or in the wider world, you know how destructive water can be. It really is the most destructive element on the planet. And it is that sense of chaos that our ancient spiritual ancestors believed that God created the world out of that. That is the image in the very first verses of Genesis, the very beginning of Scripture. The sense in which the Spirit of God moved over the waters of chaos and began to make things as simple and as elemental as light and darkness. And then, of course, the land and the sea, and the earth and the sky. That spiritual memory, and I want to be clear, not scientific, but spiritual memory, is really about our own, I think, birth, and Jesus as well. If we think about it for very long, the waters of the womb are just like the waters of the sea. You know, we know from now the biological sciences that life was born most likely in the salty waters of the sea, and we are still born there in our own fascinating way, aren't we? There is a way in which God's creation draws human life out of the waters of chaos. The good news for us tonight is that if you've had a year like mine, and I imagine many of you have, it's been kind of a scrappy year. And people around here know I like to use that word scrappy a lot these days to describe what we're doing or what we're trying to do or what I'm trying to do just to get through the day. Scrappy means a whole number of things. It means disorganized, and I confess that is sometimes, if not frequently, true. But it also means determined. Let me give you just a few vignettes from our pageant tonight to give you a taste for that, right? So since the pandemic, our pageant has been scrappy. We sort of pull it together at the last minute. People don't want to sign up and commit to 4 rehearsals, okay? So we reduce it to 1, and then most people don't even show up for that one. So then we get them to come to the costuming on Christmas Eve at 3 o'clock. Most of them show up about 10 after 3. And we scramble into costumes, and we get down here, and people are starting to come in the door a little bit for the pageant, and we're doing our first walkthrough together. Scrappy. For an old thespian, an old musician like me, that's pretty scrappy. But it's the good kind of scrappy. And let me describe what good scrappy looks like. This year, the good scrappiness was the fact that we found ourselves without a Joseph. And we were wondering, what were we going to do without a Joseph? Well, God was fine without Joseph. That much was clear. But we still wanted one to appear with Mary at the manger, because he's in the story there, right? And finally, one of the kids, who was brand new, never been in the church as far as I know before, came up and said, I want to fill this role because you all need it. You all need me there. And she got out of her angel robe and got into Joseph. Before long, she even had a beard. It was really quite a striking moment. And then without calling out any names, there was a scrappy moment as we were lighting the Advent wreath in here, because one of the candles wouldn't light. And I was there at the back. The place was full. We had about 150 people here. And our two acolytes just faithfully worked and worked and worked until they finally took the candle out of the wreath, lit it, and put it back. Because there's that other wonderful meaning of the word scrappy. It's determined. Determined. For Church of Our Savior, and for many of us, this has been a year about being determined. We're going to keep going, no matter what. And I bet that's true for many of you in your own lives. I know some of them, and I know some of them have been scrappy years for you as well. The good news of Luke's gospel is that scrappiness is where it's at. Scrappiness is the pattern of our spiritual ancestors. It was a scrappy crew that was brought out of slavery in Egypt. They weren't well organized. They were in constant conflict with each other and with God. They had no idea where God was leading them. For some reason, they didn't get the strategic plan. They didn't get one. God said, I will just lead you to the promised land. Come and follow me. Oh, and that's Moses over there. Who's Moses? Oh, he's that guy. He's that guy who left town for a while because he got into trouble, right? And you want us to follow him. Yeah? Yeah. And you want us to follow him where? Into the wilderness? Across the Red Sea? Well, how are we going to do that? We don't have any boats. Oh, we'll figure that out when we get there. Yeah? That's the story of our spiritual ancestors. Now, Luke gets it, and Luke presents us a story tonight that is so familiar we sometimes forget just how remarkable it is, because he starts out with all the big plans, all the big strategic plans in the world, right? Quirinius was governor of Syria. Why? Because he was planned to be governor of Syria. Augustus had ordered all the world to be taxed. Why? Well, because Augustus was an emperor, and emperors plan these things so that they can make more plans and build more things and build up more armies. By the way, there's an old historic conceit which I think is worth telling at this point. You know, the Romans started out as scrappy people too. They really didn't have much to write home about as far as their own culture was concerned. They liked picking up other people's cultures, but they were good at one thing. They were good at counting things. And they built an empire on that. That's kind of remarkable. But all of these big plans are unfolding in the world in which Jesus is born, just like our society is moving through its own transitions, and our own world is certainly dealing with its own struggles. Part of the reason the floods happened here was, well, the climate is changing. Okay. It's come home. But Luke tells us that's not the point of the story. Instead, the point of the story is focused on Joseph and Mary, who come from that town called Nazareth. Anybody ever heard of Nazareth before? I didn't think so. All right, maybe you've heard the stories enough, you know it, but Nazareth was not a town to write home about. Nobody cared much about Nazareth, right? And Jesus is born to Mary and Joseph, not at home, but in this other little town outside of Jerusalem that's only remembered because King David had been born there about 1,000 years earlier. I don't know if there was a King David Hotel in the first century, but, you know, you can imagine this kind of shtick, you know? It was not the center of power and authority. It was not Jerusalem, for sure, and it was not where God was meant to be, because God was meant to be in the temple. And God was meant to be part of the plan, and the strategic plan that was being kept by, hello, the priests, okay, I get it, and the other people in charge. But instead, we hear this story about God being born in this little town, and not even in a decent place, you know, out with the animals somewhere, where there probably wasn't even a street or a mailing address. You got to wonder how Mary was going to get word back to Nazareth that she was okay and her son had been born, how she was going to tell her friends. Maybe she didn't want to tell her friends. You know, there's that old thing that, you know, Joseph and Mary weren't married yet, so this really wasn't part of the plan at all, right? Especially in a patriarchal society like theirs, there was probably a lot of gossip that chased them out of Nazareth. This is the point. The point is that God comes to us not in our well-planned schemes or our designs or our strategic plans, but in the scrappy places of our lives. The disorganized bits. The places where we can only show up with some determination, maybe, but if you ask us what we really know what's going to happen, we can say, I have absolutely no idea. Don't ask me. I only work here, you know. Yeah. That's where the Christ child is born. Christ child being born in that voice of a child coming up and say, I'll take that role because there's no one else to take. The Christ child that is born when we are in tears and at our wits' end and have no idea what's going to happen next, that's where Jesus is born. The Christ child that enters those hearts that, as the ancient prophet put it, are contrite and broken. And why? Because broken hearts are open, not closed. They have space in them because they are emptied out. They are not filled with other things that we love to fill our hearts and lives and minds and days and time with. Jesus finds a space in those gaps in our lives where we don't know, where we have no idea, where we're down and out. And that is good news. And that is why it comes first to the shepherds, and then it comes to Mary, because she's going to have to figure out how to explain all this when she gets back to Nazareth, and she probably has no words for it. And then it comes to our spiritual ancestors who were putting together community in the first century when nobody wanted to have anything to do with Christians. And what are they? And if you think that sounds a little bit like Southern Marin County in the 21st century, you may be onto something. Something important about who we are and why we are here and what we are doing. But even more importantly than all of that, what God is doing, being born again among us. For you? Yeah, maybe even for me? For the people we're called to serve. That's the Christmas story. That's the gospel of Christmas. That's the hope of Christmas. That's the scrappiness of Christmas. And long may it last in your hearts this season and into the new year.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace, and we hope to greet you in person very soon.